No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Let's go to our main man, Brandon Lee Gouten, BLG from Bleeding Green Nation, joining us now here on Birds 365. Give him a follow on X at Brandon Gouten and read all his work at bleedinggreennation.com. BLG, welcome to the show, man. How you doing on this Wednesday post-NFL draft?
Doing good, guys. Got a lot to talk about.
Yeah,
quite a bit. First off, because Mike Gill dropped a bomb. Have you heard anything about rookie camp yet?
It's what, this coming weekend?
I don't know. Did they announce it? They certainly haven't texted us anything. I don't know.
Interesting.
It has to be this weekend or next weekend.
Right.
But I was hoping it was next weekend because I have some stuff to do. But anyway, I was just curious if you heard. Because I think I've seen some
Twitter chatter about this weekend, but nothing official yet.
Yeah. All right. Good. Because, you know, maybe I missed it. But anyway, doing business on the air with BLG. Trapped, I think, a lot of optimism. It's funny. I don't know how you got from feedback. I think people were disappointed, BLG, after the first 2 days and only two players. And then here comes the volume in day three, and everybody was excited. And it's interesting because the two guys that are going to matter most are Jihad Campbell and Andrew Mukuba. Your thoughts on the first two?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair sentiment. I mean, you look at day three last year, and how many contributors did the Eagles really get from that group? Not to say it can't happen, but it's not typically where you're going to get your instant impact, and that's okay. And the day three of the draft, and the draft as a whole isn't just about the next season, but still, to only have those two picks, really. And I just think if you look at, you know, where there's kind of room for criticism, too, with the Eagles draft as a whole, I would think it'd kind of be that day two, what happened, ultimately, not being able to trade up from 64 when they have a lot of ammo. Howie obviously said that those future picks weren't so enticing to other teams. But not only that, then trading down multiple times, including notably after when Charles Grant goes off the board there to the Raiders, and that's a player the Eagles bring in for a pre-draft visit, and you wonder, you know, if that was someone maybe they wanted there. And also the fact that, you know, when they take Mukuba, when they do, and he's the third safety selected in the draft at the time, that then later, when they're going to make a pick, that there's still a lot of safeties on the board there. So Howie's usually good, I feel like, about reading the market, but sometimes you don't know when a run on a position is going to start, or maybe sometimes you start the run yourselves, kind of like they did, I think, with Kyle McCord. A lot of quarterbacks went off the board after got taken. So there's, you know, there's a game of kind of like chicken there that you have to play. And I think if you're looking for criticism, it kind of could be in that day two range where I don't know if they played it perfectly.
Let me ask you about Jihad Campbell. What do you think of him? What do you think year one in, contribution? And what's your level of concern on the Albert Breer report that we got plural shoulders and knees on the injury front on him?
Well, I mean, he fell to 32 for a reason, right? It wasn't just, everyone forgot he was on the board. It was that some teams seemingly didn't even have him on their board for medical concerns. And, you know, I haven't heard anything about the specifics, but I think it's worth noting that neither Campbell nor the Eagles were definitively saying that he will be ready for training camp or whatever. We'll see. Their first glimpse will be, you know, is he participating at all in rookie minicamp? And we'll see then and kind of get a better gauge where he's at. And I think that's just a contrast of how when, for example, the Eagles drafted N'Kobe Dean, at the time there was kind of concern, you know, is this guy healthy? Why did he fall so far? And I'm pretty sure the team and N'Kobe were like, he's fine. Like, he's ready to go. They kind of shut the injury part down. So, I think those are legitimate red flags with Jahad Campbell. But I think ultimately, you know, where the Eagles got him, certainly not having to trade up for him like they wanted to, but getting him, it's worth the risk at that point.
Yeah, I agree. And how we talked about long term, and he used that phrase eventually, no concern long term. Mm-hmm. So maybe people have to temper week one talk. If he, you know, he had surgery in March, which for a labrum, and none of us are doctors, but generally that's at least 6 months. So that'll take you through training camp and really near the start of the regular season. Plus, he's a guy they want to use in a bunch of varied ways, and he's going to have to learn new things. And we kind of saw with Cooper DeJean last year. I mean, he was learning a new position, and he missed 3 weeks of training camp, and he didn't play till week five.
Mm-hmm.
So I think long-term, the Eagles are comfortable with the gamble on Jahad Campbell. We'll see how it works. But it might take a little bit longer than I think people are hoping. Now, week one, Andrew Mukuba, he could get on the field if he beats out Sidney Brown. Now, you're replacing a very good player in C.J. Gardner-Johnson, playmaker. I said they'll probably not be as pain in the ass at times. They'll probably be a little bit easier to handle. But, boy, it's going to be difficult to replace the playmaking of C.J. Gardner-Johnson. When I see Andrew Mukuba, I see, wow, he's small. Do you think that part? And he plays like he's a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
I get a little Avonte Maddox vibes from that. Because mm-hmm. I thought Avonte, I'm not comparing them as players, but I think Avonte's an undersized guy who played like he thought he was 200 pounds. I see the same thing with Mukuba. What are your thoughts on Andrew?
Yeah, I'm guessing they're going to want him to add some good weight as much as possible, you know, without obviously losing his athleticism there. Because, yeah, it's a 14 percentile weight there at 146 for a defensive back. It's pretty low. So we'll see if he's able to add anything there. But I agree. I mean, you can't say he's a one-for-one C.J. Gardner-Johnson replacement just because of how good C.J., D.J., and productive he's been for the Eagles. But in terms of the profile of a guy who has playmaking ability, I think that's what you're trying to envision when you look at the pick that they made and what they're thinking there. I think especially there's a case to be made that I think the Eagles would make this case that he was a little bit undervalued from the standpoint that earlier at Clemson, he was playing a lot more in the slot than he was free safety like he was last year at Texas. And it seemed like, I'm guessing, that the 5 interceptions he had last year weren't just luck and were related to him playing more free safety, having more view of the field on the back end of the defense, being able to read things a little bit more as opposed to playing so up on the ball like he was in the nickel. So I'm guessing the Eagles think that they're getting him and they're going to use him in a role where he's going to be maximized to be able to make plays like that. So intrigued by him ultimately. I think Sidney Brown, I think Mukuba's going to be tough competition for him to beat out. Like, I think the rookie, even though usually you give the leg up to the guy who's been here or the more experienced player, you know, Vic Fangio was not like dying to put Sidney Brown on the field last year. And certainly did not draft him or wasn't in the building when Sidney Brown was drafted and Mukuba was. And I think, you know, he's going to have the leg up.
BLG, what are your biggest questions on this defense? We had Mike Gill in last hour and he comes in with gasoline, baby. And I got questions on 10 out of 11 starters on defense. The only one I don't
have a lot of questions to be fair.
Jalen Carter. Where are your biggest questions on this defense? Obviously the number one in the NFL last year, you lose a bunch of starters. Now you go 5 straight draft picks on the defensive side. What are the biggest questions on this D-line for you?
I mean, there are a lot of questions, even just from a big picture standpoint of like, when you're that good as you were last year, how can you be that good again?
Yeah,
the NFL is not typically a sticky year to year league in terms of defenses just being dominant like that for the most part. That just does not really hold up. And then especially when you're losing Milton Williams and you're losing Joshua and you're losing CJGJ, you lost some significant personnel here. And some of that is inevitable. I'm not saying the Eagles like had to keep all those players and maybe couldn't even keep all those players. But certainly there are going to be question marks. I mean, like, where's N'Kobe Dean at? Like, is he going to be able to play early in the season? Not at all. Is John Campbell ready? You know, so like you look at linebacker, just for example, is Zach Bond, you know, what's he look like in year two? Probably hard for him to be as good as he was just because so he's an all pro level. There's really only room to go down. However, he's in year two. And in theory, he should be more like mentally comfortable playing the position that he didn't really have extensive experience at last year. So you can kind of go both ways on that. I think ultimately, you know, there's enough here for this thing to have the potential to gel and be pretty good. And, you know.
No one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
I think you look at Nolan Smith, you look at Jalen Hunt, there's potential for some of these young players to take a step forward and be good and maybe offset some of the losses that they've had. But it's not a given. And there are question marks.
You mentioned a little bit in the third round, and I'm with you. I'm trying to figure out how he said, you know, they were trying to trade up at one point. I'm trying to figure out who that player could be. You mentioned Charles Grant, and the potential when they traded down, because they traded down twice now. They could have taken him at 96,
right?
And he went 99 to the Raiders, and they were at 101, and then they traded down again and traded out of the third round. You get, if it is Charles Grant, or you get too cute, why not just take him at 96? Or, you know, I mean, I don't like that thought process. If you like a player, just go get him. But it's possible. I could see that happening with Howie, just trying to inch out a little bit more value. Do you agree with that type of philosophy or not?
No, yeah, I do at that point, especially you already traded down. Like, you don't need to get like another thing that is so great that you'd rather have that than the player. And you know, I don't know for sure that they like Charles Grant, but again, they brought him in for a pre-draft visit. They didn't do it this year, but in the years past, they typically draft those players. I also liked his profile, and he was like the highest graded FCS tackle, if I wasn't mistaken, or offensive lineman.
He's a great athlete. He seems like an Eaglesy guy.
Right. Yeah. So, I can't say for sure, but it doesn't really feel, based on the messaging and the results, that like they totally, you know, that round went the way they wanted. And also to push back on Howie a little bit, with all due respect, to a guy who's been really good in building this team, he can say that, you know, the future picks weren't really of value to other teams, but like what future picks was he offering? You know, I'm sure if he could be a little more aggressive with some of those future picks, maybe, you know, then he could have gotten it. Like, you know, I don't know exactly what he was offering. Well, he says teams didn't want them.
You know, to be fair, he's starting at the end of every round. You know, mm-hmm. your picks aren't as valuable at the end of every round. And people kind of know Eagles are going to be good. It's just a matter of how good. So that factors into the future picks as well, not being as valuable as, say, Jacksonville giving up a future pick where you kind of know they're going to muck it up. So that all factors into it.
Sure.
Ultimately, in the fourth round, I thought they got a very good prospect, but I don't want to, you know, I want to get your thoughts. I like the day three stuff. I thought they took a lot of nice swings with guys who have some upside. Did you have a favorite guy with the highest ceiling, guy with the highest floor? Let's go that way. Your highest ceiling day three pick, your highest floor day three pick.
Yeah, I think highest ceiling has to be Cameron Williams. Just, you know, 21-year-old, massive, like, just, you know, huge offensive tackle that it feels like the perfect kind of player to give to Jeff Stoutland. This is like the perfect kind of situation. If you're a team that had to have like Cameron Williams play year one, it's not looking maybe so good. But if you're a team that can just have him sit on the bench and develop, he's 21 years old, again, just massive. Seems like a lot of the red flags with him were more so, you know, lack of experience based and like kind of coachable based. So that seems like the perfect kind of situation for the Eagles to land him and maybe potentially groom him to be a right tackle of the future. You know, maybe by the time Lane Johnson isn't playing football anymore, Cameron Williams will be in a position to at least compete for that job. And if that's the case, that's great. That's an amazing outcome, especially because the Eagles have been trying to look for that Lane Johnson, you know, potential replacement for the future for a while and haven't really been able to get that guy, especially early in the draft, especially last year. That was seemingly, you know.
And I like the fact they took two swings because yes. He also got Miles Hinton as well, and maybe he's the guy.
And then Holland Pierce, too, that you signed in, like these massive guys that they're getting.
Is that the dude that's like 6'8", 350?
Yeah, he's the Rutgers guy.
Yep.
By the way, I BLT, I think he's got a bad agent. Like, why are you steering your guy toward the Eagles?
He's a local guy. Maybe he wanted to stay home, but yeah.
Maybe, yeah. Because, you know, generally, if you're an undrafted guy, you want to look for, all right, who needs a tackle? And the Eagles just drafted two tackles to have. Now, maybe it's just I want to work with Jeff Stoutland.
Right.
Because playing anywhere might be an uphill battle at that point, you know?
Or kind of just get, like, the Jeff Stoutland, aura on you.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, Stoutland, this guy worked with them.
Yeah.
Just stepping in that room might increase your value a little bit. All right, BLG, you lost a lot of guys on defense. And I know talent acquisition season is not over. Howie has had many instances in the past of adding players late in the process. But I would say the draft is the biggest, you know, part of that reacquisition process. Now that it's over and you look at this team, is there a spot you think they have to target and go and get somebody? Me and John talked a little bit about the edge rusher, depending on what you think of Jahad Campbell. Are they still thin at that room? What do you think Howie's looking at this roster right now and thinking, I need to add here, or maybe it's nowhere. Maybe you feel good about the depth everywhere.
Well, yeah, if we assume Dallas Goedert's here, then, you know, I'm not going to say tight end, but if he's not, that's obviously the spot. Yeah, so that's the big question mark. But if we're going to put that aside, I mean, I think they have, for the most part here, like a roster that is ready to play now if they had to. And that certainly doesn't mean they won't make additions, because I think they will prior to the season, as Howie will remind us all and has reminded us all the player acquisition period is not over, even though most of it is. I think some of those spots could depend on, you know, they have OTAs here. If they're kind of going to get a look at how players look, not only in the practices there, but just in terms of how seriously or not they've maybe taken the offseason and how they kind of are looking at guys and confidence level here. Maybe you add a safety at some point down the road, especially if you're not really liking what you see from either Sidney Brown or Andrew Mukuba. Justin Simmons, obviously, still out there. But I think that's the kind of acquisition you're looking at kind of at this point, is like not some people you're dying to get onto the roster immediately, as much as you kind of maybe let it ride for a little bit in the offseason, maybe even a little bit into training camp, see what you have there. And if you're not loving what you're seeing, then you kind of open that door and sign a veteran.
I think that your options are overblown, BLG, but nonetheless, people make a big deal out of them. In the case, I think Howie kind of confirmed they were picking it up, but it is, they have picked it up, Jordan Davis. To me, it's not about 12.9 million. It's about, they don't want to have that on their cap. So how do you work out an extension? And he's kind of a difficult guy to judge because he's a two down player. How high do you want to go, especially when your other defensive tackle is probably going to make $40 million when he's up next year? Where are you on Jordan Davis and the long-term future with the Eagles?
Yeah, I think this was kind of like a really tough decision. I think usually the fifth-year option is kind of more clear-cut, like, oh, we're definitely going to pick it up. No, we're definitely not. I think this is like pretty much as on the fence as you could possibly be based on where Jordan Davis is in his career. I mean, look, this is a player who's played 47 games. He has 3.5 sacks. That alone doesn't simply outline his value. But also, by the way, 6 tackles for loss and 6 quarterback hits in his career.
I think that's a bigger issue.
So I'm not going to sit here and tell you he doesn't have impact and the stats might not totally, you know, do him justice. But like, we're talking about $13 million a year for a player and maybe more, depending on, you know, how things go in the future for a guy who, and let's even put the stats aside for a second. Like, this is a guy who played 37% of the defensive snaps last year. And in the playoffs, what, he played 13 in the first game, 17 in the second game, 13 in the third game, and then 14 in the Super Bowl. Like, he just isn't even on the field a lot. So it's a lot of money. I do think the Eagles would rather, you know, I think it's okay to make the mistake of, okay, you paid him too much 1 year for 2025 or for 2026, I should say, for the fifth year option, rather than, okay, he has an amazing year this year. He did finish the season strong. He had 2 sacks in the playoffs, and I think those like were legitimate sacks, too. They weren't just gimmies against good quarterbacks, by the way, and Jaden Daniels and Patrick Mahomes. And he does things finally click for him. It wasn't until year 4 that things started to click really for Dexter Lawrence. And obviously, you know, he's a much more of a, you know, amazing player. I don't know if Jordan Davis will become him. But in the event that that outcome happens, all of a sudden, you know, you're looking at a ton of money that you would have to pay to keep him, and you wouldn't get the benefit of having him for the extra one extra year. So if you're, the worst case scenario is they overpaid him for 2026, I think that's okay, as opposed to the worst case scenario is he looks awesome and then you're losing him.
BLJ, who is your favorite draft pick this year for the Birds?
I think in terms of value, I really am intrigued by the guy they got last, and Antoine.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, a lot of people. BLJ, 25.5 sacks in 2 years.
Falling into that college production hype.
But it's such wild production. That's
right,
insane.
Right, that's where I'm at, BLJ.
I don't care. People are like, oh, I was reading the scouting reports. How does he project to the NFL? Yeah. I mean, he had 30 sacks total. He had, what, 22.5 the past 2 years?
I agree.
25 and a half, yeah.
You know, hey, there's how he talks about traits on day 3 guys. And normally he's talking about, you know, things in their body, as he likes to say. I think in the case of Powell Ryland, he's a good pass rusher. He's got a lot of savviness. There's something to that.
Yeah. But 9 forced fumbles, too. That's a wildly high number.
Yeah. So I agree. There's something to that. But, you know, boy, I mean, the lack of length. We were talking to Ian Cummings, who does a great job with the draft. Mm-hmm. And I asked him that exact question. How do you measure from a scout perspective crazy college production versus, you know, how it's going to translate to the next level? And, you know, there's some concerns from the athleticism standpoint. And obviously, you're dealing with much better offensive tackles in the NFL, to say the least. I think it's a great pick in the 6th round. Take a roll the dice. But I remember Joe Osman's production at Central Michigan. I mean, he was going to be a part of this team, finally worked his way up, and he tore his ACL. Looked like Jim Schwartz was trying to get him on the field as sort of a joker pass rusher. And then he tore his ACL and it was over. Jordan Mailata still talks about him to this day and how he helped him. Just a great college pass rusher, but it didn't translate. I'm worried about those production guys who last to the 6th round. To me, that's sort of a red flag. because why wouldn't you pick him?
Right. Exactly. Why not take the chance? I will say, you know, just based on we saw Nolan Smith take strides. We saw Jalen Hunt take strides. Obviously, those guys were drafted higher. But if you're giving some credit here to Jeremiah Washburn and what he's done, like we talk about, you know, Stoutland, all that he does, and even Vic and what he does, I think Jeremiah Washburn, add him in there. I think I have some intrigue to see if he can get the best out of APR.
Yeah, I agree with that. BLJ, do you think we're putting too much on Vic? You know, like where we kind of have this aura where it's just like, just give him some guys and he's going to turn them into these great player. I know he was only 1 year here in Philly, but you did lose a lot of talent this year. You think we're putting too much expectation on Vic?
I think he's earned that. Like, I think he's earned the right, not to go Jalen Hurts here, but pressure is a privilege. Like, I think that Vic Fangio has very much earned the benefit of the doubt, given how awesome this defense was last year. So, in a lot of cases, I think it's a little like it's not even good analysis by what we do to be like, oh, trust them. They've got it. No worries. Because they're wrong, too. And they get things wrong and no one's infallible here. But I think with, again, the track record, how good not only the defense was, again, from like just the results that we saw last year, but from a player development standpoint as well. Like, yeah, they earned the benefit of the doubt in my mind. Doesn't mean that they will get it right. But it does mean that I think that I'm going to give them some benefit of the doubt that they can make it work.
All right, let's circle back, BLG, to Jihad Campbell. You retweeted Fran Duppy's sort of thought, right? And obviously, Fran, for those who don't know, used to work for the Eagles, so he knows a lot of people in that building. And I think it got a lot of traction that after we heard Howie Roseman talk about Jihad Campbell, and even if you look at Alec Hallaby's comments on the Eagles website, and then, you know, it's Edge. He's going to be a great pass rusher, and then he's going to start at off-ball linebacker. I'll give you the floor. What do you make about what's going on here?
I mean, I think the Eagles value his pass rushing ability, and that is part of why you're willing to trade up for a player. I don't think they're just trading up for a pure 100% off-ball linebacker. But, I mean, when you look at Jihad Campbell's usage at Alabama last year in terms of his snap count, you know, it was mostly off-ball linebacker, and then there's about like 100 or so snaps of him as an edge rusher. And that's kind of what like Zach Bond was doing for the Eagles last year. So the way I see it, I think it is more of a player that they see in a Zach Bond kind of mold where, especially because, God forbid, Zach Bond goes down with an injury. Also, you know, he's only signed for a couple of years here. And how important he was to this defense last year. Like, I think that's a kind of player they don't want to just have one guy of. I think it's one that they would like to have, ideally multiple, not only because it could make you good now, but also thinking about the future down the road. And I think Campbell has that kind of potential. That doesn't mean, you know, things can't change in the future, but I do think they're adding him with the idea that, you know, he will be an off-ball linebacker who has pass rushing ability as well.
Do you think labeling in the NFL is the problem? Because I, you know, Howie's very adamant about not pigeonholing this particular player. Like, I get more of the sentiment they're trying to turn him into what Andrew Van Ginkel was in Miami for Vic, which is more of, you know, played off ball, was a joker. We just talked about it, was a joker at times, like Joe Osman, was an edge rusher at times. I think from just from Howie's words and Alec's words, I think this is a player maybe we haven't seen before. Or at least the projection in Philadelphia. This is a guy who's going to do different things, a bunch of different things. But he's going to be on the field 100% of the time if everything works out. So he might move from off-ball linebacker on first down to edge rusher on second down to joker on third down. Do you think labeling gets in the way of these things?
I think that's fair, but, you know, I think it comes down to, like, the player has to be in one of these position groups first, right? And it was interesting to see that when Campbell was arriving to the Eagles facility, You gave Bobby King a big hug first. I don't know if that matters in the order, but Jeremiah
Washburn. Yeah, it was interesting because when he met with the – you're right. It was interesting because when he met with the Eagles – I brought it up at the time.
Yes.
He met with Jeremiah Washburn.
Right.
And then when he got here, he gave the big hug to Bobby King. I'm right. like, the Eagles are really going all out to put the
well, what position group though is it, you know, you heard Jason Kelce, you spend 90% of your time with your position group. Well, where's he gonna go? Well, which room is he
gonna start with Bobby King?
Yeah, I think inside linebacker first.
Yeah.
Now, BLG, I'm gonna ask you what I asked Mike Hill. All right, I'm gonna give you a range and I want you to tell me where you think Campbell falls year one. The range is on the one side, it's what Nolan Smith was year one. All right. He didn't play much. He was a 32nd overall pick, similar to where Campbell was drafted. Not much of an impact yet. All right. Didn't play much. The other side of it is Quinyon Mitchell, who played every single game and was a huge impact on your D. I know they're different positions, but I think you understand where I'm going.
Right.
Where does Campbell fall this year for year one production or playing for this football team?
Yeah, it's not going to be to the level of Quinyon Mitchell just from a standpoint of like few rookies would ever be. I mean, you could be a really good rookie and still not even get to where Quinyon was last year or Cooper DeJean for that matter. So it's definitely, I think, in the middle of those and above Nolan Smith somewhere considerably, just because I think Campbell will have more of a path to playing time than Nolan Smith really did as a rookie, given how the Eagles roster was constructed. So I think it's going to be somewhere in the middle there where I think we see a player who kind of like has flashes. Like we see the upside of him. We see that, you know, there's intrigue here. But I also think, you know, they're just because of how they're going to use him, and there are some moving parts in terms of his development that I think it's not going to be a finished product in year one.
All right. At Brandon Gouton, make sure you follow BLG on the X platform. Read him at Bleeding Green Nation. He and his staff do a tremendous job there. I feel like I ask you at this every week, and we're going to keep asking you. It's going to be the James Bradbury situation. Take your Dallas Goedert temperature on where you are. For me, it's changed a little bit. I don't know about you. They didn't take a tight end. I mean, at some point, Indianapolis was a logical landing spot for me. They drafted Tyler Warren. Things are drying up on both sides. I had been below 50%. Dallas isn't going to be here. Now I'm slightly above 50%. Have you moved at all?
I just, like, again, it comes back to what is the plan if he's not here? And the plan clearly now isn't draft someone, which I don't think was ever a great plan, but it's just not even an option. It's not on the table for you anymore.
So back, I wanted to see him draft someone because I don't want to be in this position next year.
Well, absolutely. And that's a great point because, I mean, even my, that's, I've been saying that too all along, is that even if he is back, I mean, none of these tight ends are signed beyond next season. Like the guys they have in free agency, 1 year deals, Grant Calcaterra, 1 year deal. He's on the roster of his rookie deal. So there's no future of this position right now on the roster really at all, unless you really believe in like Cameron Latu or like,
Cam Latu, you know, Alabama.
We have the Harrison Bryant truther in the chat as well.
Oh yeah, we got a big Harrison Bryant.
Well, there you go. I think he's a solid player. I think Bryant's a solid player, but I mean, not, you know, again, should be the guy. And when Nick Sirianni talks about this offense runs through three players and Dallas Goedert is one of them, then you either have to keep him or you have to get a very legitimate replacement for that kind of player. And to me, I think the market for Goddard doesn't seem to be burning up. Maybe I'm underestimating that, but I just think with all these teams adding tight ends, like who's out there that's like really dying to pay Dallas Goedert big money?
Did George Kittle complicate anything? Because George, the only reason I'm not comparing, George Kittle's phenomenal, but he's 31.
Right.
And, you know, he's a five-time All-Pro, and, you know, he's the best tight end in football, and he got, whatever, $19 million. I mean, Dallas Goedert is top five, I would say, coming off a great postseason run. Or he can make that argument, injuries aside. And I'm saying, again, he's not going to be at the George Kittle level, but does that give him at least some weight to say, hey, I got to be at 14, 15, somewhere in that range?
Perhaps in his mind, you know, I just think there's too much of a difference, not only just in talent, but availability. I mean, George Kittle doesn't miss, you know, like these large stretches of games every year. He hasn't missed a bit for... since 2020, he only played 8 games that season there. And I just don't see the teams that are out there. Like, I don't see it from a team need perspective. Like, who are these teams that drastically need, you know, tight ends and are willing to do that? And from Dallas Goedert's perspective, if he's not getting more than a one-year deal, like if you're only getting what, or what would essentially be a one-year deal, maybe a two-year deal, but really guarantee for one, like, wouldn't you rather just be in Philadelphia where you know the quarterback, you know the offense more than you would in a totally new environment, you know that organization more than you would? I just feel like, again, it has always made sense for both sides to just kind of figure this out for one more year and then kind of go from there.
Yeah. We'll see what ends up happening with it. BLG, man, we appreciate you doing it. Great, great breakdown today of the NFL draft. The Eagles draft, 10 new picks, man. A lot of picks this year. So we broke them down pretty well. We appreciate you doing it, BLG. Make sure you guys follow him at Brandon Gowton and read all his work at bleedinggreennation.com. BLG, well done, brother. Talk to you next week.
See you guys.
Thanks, bud.
BLG joining us here on Birds 365. Great job by BLG here on the show.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.